She slides into the back booth of a smoky political club, eyes locked on Senator Caldwell. She knows exactly what she's doing, and he doesn't suspect it yet. Because to her, secrets are commodities. Power is earned with a touch, a whisper, a promise. She's not naive. She's calculating. Every late-night rendezvous is part of her blueprint. Sleep with the rival, seduce the ally, compromise the journalist probing into her rise. She is climbing, one bed at a time. But when one man, betrayed, humiliated, manipulated, snaps, the game shifts. From seduction to survival, from ambition to vengeance, from whispers in hidden corridors to gunshots in the dark. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. The whispers began before she ever filed to run. Her name was Juliana Vail, Harvard-educated, daughter of a civil rights attorney and former press secretary to a rising senator. But long before anyone believed she had a shot at office, the whispers started in backrooms and black tie galas. She doesn't play fair, she plays smart. They didn't know the half of it. Juliana understood politics wasn't just strategy, it was desire, vanity, weakness. She saw how men in power talked about integrity but voted with their lust, how journalists claimed objectivity until someone like her walked in wearing red silk and knew just where to look and pause. Her first mark was Councilman Trey Holloway, an arrogant Ivy League legacy with the ethics of a broken vending machine. He underestimated her. They always did. Juliana made herself indispensable to his campaign, orchestrating media hits, crushing his opponents with leaks, then sealing his loyalty in his penthouse suite during a weekend strategy retreat. But when he backed out of endorsing her for a state Senate seat, Juliana didn't plead. She whispered into the ear of his biggest donor, an older, closeted philanthropist with secrets buried beneath foundation grants, a few drinks, a camera, one compromising video later, and Trey changed his mind. Her campaign launched with shocking momentum. Behind the scenes, Miles Carr, an investigative journalist with the Beacon Post, blood soaking through her sleeves, her fingers shaking as she reached for his face, but he was already gone. Police sirens wailed in the distance. Noah vanished before they arrived, and Marlowe, gone like smoke. The funeral was private, closed casket. Miles Carr was buried with a press badge in his suit pocket and a recorder in his hand, per his request. The expose, published 2 days later, Lisa Cho released it on every platform she could find. Every sentence, every document, every whispered truth that Miles had gathered in the last month of his life spilled out like blood from a vein. Juliana Vail's name was everywhere. The headlines screamed power, lies, and the politics of seduction. Whispers from the bedroom, the Juliana Vail scandal. Sex as currency, the woman who played Washington. They thought she'd vanish. She didn't. She appeared on television 3 nights later, no script, no makeup, no lawyer by her side. She looked straight into the camera and said, "Yes, I did what they say I did. I used what I had to get where I needed. I used sex the way men use threats, the way the elite use money. I took my power how I could. And now you hate me because I did it better than you expected." There was silence. Then chaos. Some demanded her arrest. Others called her a feminist icon, a martyr, a monster. Noah Fielding watched it all from a motel room 6 hours outside the city, his face unshaven, his eyes dead. He hadn't pulled the trigger, but the bullet still haunted him. His guilt twisted inward. He hadn't gotten justice. He hadn't gotten peace. He got silence. and it was deafening. Meanwhile, Marlowe was already in Prague, or Dubai, or whatever new passport said he belonged there. The job was done. No loose ends, or so he thought, because Angela Knox was still alive, still watching. And unlike Juliana, she didn't want a spotlight. She wanted revenge. She activated the last protocol, the Queen Maker file. It was deeper than the Whispers file, buried beneath fake campaign accounts, dummy drives, air-gapped servers. It detailed not just Juliana's manipulations, but her funders, her protectors, the network of men and women who used her rise to conceal their own. Angela sent it to 4 international journalists. She also sent a copy to Juliana. The message read, "You wanted to be queen, but every queen has a reckoning." Juliana read it, smiled faintly. She knew the crown was cracked, but she had worn it anyway. Now, the world would see how power really worked, and maybe, just maybe, they'd start asking why they only cared when a woman played the game too well, took interest, not just because she was rising fast, but because something felt curated, too clean, too connected. And then there were the rumours, rumours that sources mysteriously went quiet after speaking to Juliana, rumours of backroom deals that left no paper trail but always ended in her favour. Miles requested an interview. She accepted, but only at 10:30 p.m. in a boutique hotel bar, wearing a silk blouse that caught the candlelight like fire. "I like your writing," she said, sipping vermouth, "but you miss the deeper story." "Oh," he asked, guarded. "You think corruption is money in envelopes?" She smiled. "It's not. It's proximity, intimacy, weakness. If I leaned across this table and told you a secret, who would you tell?" That night, they didn't sleep. Not much, anyway. And the next morning, his questions got softer. But not everyone bent. Her campaign manager, Angela Knox, was one of the few who knew Juliana's full playbook. She had tried to quit once, disgusted by how Juliana used her body like a bribe. Juliana didn't beg. She reminded Angela about the hacked emails, the affair she'd had with a married city clerk, and how they'd both go down if the wrong inbox got subpoenaed. Angela stayed, but the rot was growing. What no one realised was that Juliana kept trophies, thumb drives, passwords, hotel key cards, insurance, because when you use sex as leverage, you need something stronger when it stops working. And somewhere, tucked between her secrets and her charm, a man was watching, waiting, not for her affection, but for a reckoning. A man she had underestimated, a man with nothing left to lose. Juliana Vale knew how to manipulate the game, but she forgot something. Pawns remember being moved. Noah Fielding was not her usual type. He wasn't powerful. He wasn't rich. He wasn't useful, at least not at first glance. Just a low-level digital strategist assigned to her campaign's data team. Quiet, diligent, invisible. Exactly how she liked them. She noticed him during a late-night team debrief. He stayed behind to fix a corrupt spreadsheet while others filed out, drunk on tequila and backroom polling. She offered him coffee. He stammered something polite. She leaned in just enough for his throat to tighten. 2 weeks later, they were sleeping together. To Noah, it felt real, electric even. She confided in him, called him late, cried about the pressures of being a woman in politics. He bought her groceries when she said she hadn't eaten, fixed her phone when it crashed, rewired her security system. But to Juliana, he was just another vulnerability to exploit. She wasn't cruel, just calculated. Noah had access to back-end data. She needed donor lists, engagement metrics, and comms logs. In exchange, she gave him affection and the illusion of love. Until she didn't. When she ghosted him after winning the primary, Noah unraveled quietly, then violently. At first it was texts, then voicemails, then showing up outside campaign events with excuses, leftover paperwork, forgotten USBs. Juliana dismissed him with firm coldness. He wasn't dangerous, just sad. But Angela saw the red flags. "You shouldn't have messed with him," Angela warned, watching Noah loiter outside a fundraiser. "He looks cracked." Juliana waved her off. "He's fine. Harmless." She was wrong, because Noah didn't just walk away. He had access. He knew where files were stored, how donor payments were anonymized, how to find hidden trails. Most dangerously, he knew about the Whispers file. The Whispers file wasn't on any campaign server. It was Juliana's personal blackmail folder, encrypted, off-grid, updated weekly, names, videos, voice memos, passwords, every intimate secret she'd weaponized to rise. And it had been stored, briefly, on a laptop Noah had once repaired. He didn't steal it. He cloned it. Now he sat in a cluttered apartment, surrounded by blinking screens, scrolling through lives she'd broken, men crying in hotel rooms, audio clips of trembling apologies, screenshots of affairs, bribes, threats. He wasn't angry anymore. He was resolute. "This isn't revenge," he told himself, voice flat. "This is exposure." Meanwhile, Miles Carr, the journalist, grew suspicious. His editor flagged inconsistencies in Juliana's story. A whistleblower from another campaign emailed him anonymously, hinting at blackmail, a manipulated endorsement, and a sex for access scheme. Miles confronted Juliana over lunch. "Are you sleeping with anyone else connected to your campaign?" he asked flatly. She didn't flinch. "I'm not married," she said. "Are you?" His coffee stayed untouched. Later that night, a package arrived at Miles's apartment. No return address. Inside, a USB drive and a note. "She lied to you about everything. This is your story." N, he plugged it in. The screen flickered. Videos, audio, proof. Not just of seduction, but sabotage. A destroyed marriage, a judge bribed, a suicide. Miles sat back, heart pounding. Juliana Vale wasn't a rising star. She was a scandal waiting to explode. Miles Carr had covered political corruption for a decade, but nothing prepared him for the content of that USB drive. He watched one video three times. It showed Senator Leon McGrath, married father of three, sobbing shirtless in a hotel room, clutching Juliana Vale's scarf like it was a confession. He mumbled about voting for a policy he'd once opposed, about her, about how she made it all feel inevitable. Miles closed the file, then opened another. Audio. Juliana's voice. Calm. Patient. Calculated. "Don't worry, Leon. You'll get used to bending your spine. Just keep your mouth shut and your vote right." Miles didn't sleep that night. He wasn't just looking at a scandal. He was staring at a career-ending bombshell that implicated judges, mayors, donors, and him. Because he had slept with Juliana Vale too. And in that moment, he couldn't be sure whether he'd been another conquest or just another card in her deck. His editor at the Beacon Post, Lisa Cho, noticed his silence. "You all right?" she asked, standing in the doorway of his office the next morning. He hesitated. "I've got something. It's real. It's nuclear." Lisa sat. "Then publish." "I think I might be compromised." She narrowed her eyes. "Sex?" Miles nodded once. She exhaled. "Then let's handle it right. You write the truth. I'll bring in a second reporter to vet and finish." But Miles couldn't shake it. The way Juliana had looked at him, not like a one-night mistake, not like a fling, like a mirror, reflecting back every ambition he tried to pretend he didn't have. Across town, Juliana felt the shift. Angela burst into her apartment, waving a printed photo, Miles exiting a hardware store known for burner phone sales. On the back, a hand-scrawled note. "Check your allies. They're bleeding. Juliana turned pale. Noah, she hadn't heard from him in weeks. And now, her worst fear was blooming. Noah was talking. Or worse, leaking. Where's the drive? Juliana asked. Angela hesitated. I locked it. Air-gapped machine. No network access. But he might have cloned it when he was fixing the system. Juliana's voice dropped. Then, he has it all. Angela crossed her arms. You should have burned him when you had the chance. I thought I was doing him a favour. Angela shook her head. You don't do favours. You do trades. Juliana didn't answer. Instead, she called Miles. I want to see you, she said, her tone softer than usual. Alone. He met her at a quiet park just before dusk. She wore black, no makeup, hair pulled back. A different version of herself, less polished, more human. For the first time, Miles saw the woman behind the performance. Are you writing about me? She asked, sitting on the bench beside him. He didn't lie. Yes. I'm not sorry for what I've done. I don't think you are. But I never lied to you. Miles looked away. You didn't have to. You just used the truth when it suited you. They sat in silence. Then she asked, What happens now? He stood. That depends on what's in the rest of the drive. What neither of them saw was Noah, watching from a car across the street, hand trembling over a burner phone. He had sent copies of the Whispers file to multiple journalists, but only one person had replied, a man claiming to be a political fixer who said he could make Juliana disappear without a single police report filed. Noah hadn't agreed, not yet, but something dark had shifted inside him. The kind of shift that turns heartbreak into obsession, and obsession into action. Noah Fielding had always considered himself a good man, empathetic, smart. But sitting alone in the dark, with the phone glowing in his lap, he no longer recognised the person he was becoming. I can take care of her, the voice had said. It was calm, professional, utterly devoid of emotion. The man on the other end called himself Calder, and he knew things Noah had never shared. You've been used, publicly humiliated. She keeps climbing. You keep sinking. I level that imbalance. You interested? Noah hadn't said yes. He hadn't said no either. Now he replayed Juliana's betrayal in his mind like a looped film reel, the way she touched him. The way she disappeared, the way she turned vulnerability into a weapon. But revenge, that was a different language. So he asked, What exactly do you mean by take care of her? You'll never see her again. That's the offer. It wasn't a question. It was a transaction. Across town, Juliana was trying to stay calm as her carefully controlled world began to rupture. The whispers were louder now. Donors were backing out. One of her most loyal allies, Judge Miriam Clark, stopped returning her calls. Angela Knox had locked herself in the campaign war room, running simulations and vetting internal security. We've got three possible leaks, she told Juliana. Two are journalists. One is your pet ex. Juliana snapped. He was never my... Angela held up a hand. Save it. He's unstable. We should neutralise him. Juliana's voice sharpened. You mean blackmail? I mean pressure. I mean control. Remind him what happens when you mess with a woman who keeps records. Juliana hesitated, then nodded. That night, Angela sent Noah an anonymous message. We know what you're doing. Keep pushing. And your life burns too. Noah stared at the message for minutes. Then he forwarded it to Calder. They're threatening me now. Calder replied instantly. I'll handle it. But when I do, you don't back out. Meanwhile, Miles Carr sat with his editor, Lisa Cho. trying to decide if he had the nerve to publish the exposé. Lisa had reviewed the materials, the whispers file, the videos, the metadata trails. She'd had it triple verified. Every piece pointed back to Juliana Vale, her seductive manipulation of half the city's political elite, and the quiet destruction she left behind. "This'll bury her," Lisa said. "It'll also stain you." Miles nodded. "I know." "You want to step away from the byline?" "No," he said. "I want to finish it." Lisa studied him for a moment. "Because you believe in justice, or because you want payback?" Miles didn't answer, because even he didn't know. That night, he sent Juliana a single text. "Final question. If I give you 24 hours to come clean, will you?" No reply. Not right away. Juliana sat alone in her apartment, rereading the message. She didn't cry. She didn't panic. She pulled out a burner phone, dialed a number she hadn't called in years, and said, "I need a favour. Disappearances. Two people. Discreet." Because if the world was turning on her, she'd burn it down before she let it bury her. Juliana Vale didn't believe in guilt, only consequences. And right now, they were closing in fast. She stood on the rooftop of her campaign headquarters, the skyline glowing beneath a cloudless night. The city she had seduced, manipulated, conquered, now threatened to consume her. But she wasn't done yet. She had made the call. The man who answered wasn't listed in any database. No digital trail, no real name. Just an old contact passed down from her days working in DC for a senator who had once needed a scandal cleaned. His code name was Marlowe. Juliana didn't need to explain much. Marlowe knew her voice, knew her type, knew the kind of favour that came with an unspoken cost. His only question was, targets? She gave him two names, Noah Fielding, Miles Carr, both liabilities. One broken and dangerous, the other a ticking bomb with a journalist's ego. Marlowe promised silence. Nothing messy, no bodies, just exit strategies. Back in her apartment, Juliana poured herself a glass of wine and watched the first flicker of dawn sneak through her blinds. She didn't regret sleeping with them. She regretted not anticipating their fallout. She was a tactician, and they had become variables she failed to manage. That wouldn't happen again. Meanwhile, Miles stared at the nearly finished draft of the exposé. His fingers hovered over the keyboard. The story was airtight. Names, evidence, timelines. Juliana Vale, the political darling, turned seductress manipulator, tied to two resignations, one suicide, and now possible collusion with blackmail threats. But he couldn't hit publish. Not yet. He needed to be sure of one thing, whether Juliana was still playing, or if she finally knew the game was over. So he set a trap. He sent her a message that wasn't true. "I know about the tape with Senator Greer. I'm going public tonight." There was no tape. No scandal with Greer. But Juliana didn't know that. 3 hours later, Miles returned to his apartment to find his front door ajar. Nothing was stolen, but his office drawers had been rifled through. His backup drives were missing. A faint scent of perfume still hung in the air. Not Juliana's. Something colder, manufactured. He froze. It wasn't her. It was someone she'd hired. Across the city, Noah Fielding opened his inbox to find a message from an unknown sender. No text, just a video. He clicked it. Grainy footage showed him walking to a convenience store. A man followed 3 steps behind. Same man at the gas station. Same man across the street from his apartment hours later. No threats, just surveillance. Noah began to shake. He forwarded the video to Calder. "They're on to me." Calder responded with chilling calm. "Then it's time. Are you ready?" Noah stared at the screen. Was he ready? He thought about the humiliation, the nights he begged for her attention. The way she smiled as if nothing he felt ever mattered. The way she discarded him like empty packaging once she'd extracted everything she needed. "Yes," he typed back. "Do it." Calder sent one final message. "It's in motion." And somewhere, not far from the city, a man with a scar under his eye closed a briefcase containing two passports, one gun, and a single silencer. Because this was no longer politics. This was war. Juliana Vale knew she was being hunted. She just didn't know from which direction first. One of her campaign staffers had gone dark. Maya, her communications assistant. No call, no email. Her burner phone buzzed with a single coded text from Marlowe. Complication handled. Juliana didn't ask questions. She never did with Marlowe. She only paid. But something felt off. The silence wasn't clean. It was unfinished. Across the city, Miles Carr sat in his newsroom, staring at the fallout plan he'd been forced to draft years ago, an encrypted file labelled "In Case of Death or Disappearance." Standard journalist paranoia. But this time, it didn't feel paranoid. It felt necessary. He had already sent copies of the exposé to Lisa Cho and three trusted contacts in different cities. Even if something happened to him, the story would run. Still, he had one final card to play, a meeting. He texted Juliana, "One last chance, your version, 5 p.m. Riverton Pier, no tricks." She didn't reply. Not with words. She arrived 5 minutes early. No entourage. No lipstick, no lies in her eyes. The air was thick with sea salt and tension. Miles stepped out of his car, recorder, already running in his pocket. "You look tired," she said, barely glancing at him. "I haven't slept," he replied. "Guess that makes two of us." They sat on a bench, facing the water. "You sent someone into my apartment." Juliana didn't flinch. "You sent someone into my life. That wasn't personal." It was never not personal. For a moment, they sat in silence. Then she said, "You know, I never meant for this to happen." Miles scoffed. "You mean Noah?" She nodded. "He was weak. I didn't see it. That's on me." "You didn't see it? Or you just didn't care?" Juliana looked at him, really looked. "What do you want from me, Miles?" "I want the truth." "You already have the truth." "I want your version." She paused, then gave it to him. She talked. For nearly 30 minutes, about every man, every manipulation, every time she used intimacy to extract favours, donations, influence. She told him about Marlowe, about the Whispers file, about how she never once felt guilty, only strategic. But somewhere in the telling, her voice changed, weakened, like the weight of all her choices was finally pressing on her chest. "I wanted to matter," she said. "I didn't know how else." Miles ended the recording. He stood. "Goodbye, Juliana." She didn't watch him walk away. Meanwhile, Noah Fielding sat in his car, parked across from the pier, hands trembling around a concealed pistol. Calder had given him clear instructions. "She will meet him. That's your window. One clean shot. One ending." But Noah couldn't do it. He'd fantasized about revenge. Dreamt of it. But now, watching her on that bench, smaller than he remembered, hair tied back, no spotlight, he didn't see a monster. He saw a person, flawed, cold, but human. And that was the most painful part. She had played him, and he still loved her. Noah lowered the gun, but someone else didn't. From a rooftop across the pier, Marlowe adjusted his scope. His orders were clear. Not from Juliana, but from someone else. A client with deeper pockets and political interests that needed protecting. And both Juliana and Miles were now liabilities. He pulled the trigger. One shot. A single echo across the water. Miles' car fell before he could turn around. Juliana screamed, raw, unfiltered. For the first time, not in control. She dropped beside him,